Welcome to the Rage Podcast. We hope that you find this week's message encouraging.
I want to get right into this tonight. Is that all right? Are you guys ready here? All right. So when they asked me to speak, I kind of thought over what did I want to talk about and what really was on my heart and what really I think helped me through my teenage years in this church and helped me get to where I am today and shape me. So I started looking at things and I came up with being a servant and really learning to serve. So that is tonight's title is A Servant's Heart. So my question is for all of you guys is who likes movies? If you're not raising your hand, well, you're lying. Pretty much everybody likes, maybe you don't like movies. I don't know. Do you prefer TV to movies? Netflix? Whatever. But who's seen a movie? Okay, good. There we go. I've always been told you should ask questions where everyone will raise their hand. So we've all seen a movie. Does anybody like superhero movies? Or action movies? DC? Marvel? Action movies? Man. There's something about superhero movies and action movies that when we leave them, they pump us up more than any other kind of movie. We leave and we think we can do anything. We think we're great. I remember, did anybody see the last Independence Day movie? Yeah, the newest one? Yeah, get your money back. It was awful. I remember the original Independence Day movie. My dad took me to see it. And I'm not kidding. If there would have been a Marine Corps recruiter sitting out that theater, I would have signed up to fly F-A-18s and shoot down aliens at that moment. I was so excited when I walked out of the theater. And I know we're not shooting down aliens, but it's not the point. We are at some point. Has anybody ever stopped watching a superhero movie and thought, I need a superpower? Yes. Which one? Invisibility? Flying? Shape-shifting? Telekinesis? All right. So we all, me, I didn't want a superpower. I want Batman's utility belt because it can do everything. He's got everything in there. But here's the thing. The great thing is we don't need any of that to serve. We don't need any of those superpowers. We don't need, I mean, these kind of things help. They help. Otherwise, I'm like this, and I got to talk really loud and scream. But now I can talk normally, and I don't have to yell, which is good, because I don't like yelling. Does everybody believe that God has called you to do something great? Did you know you don't have to have super abilities? You don't have to have superpowers, super gadgets, whatever, to do something great for God? That you're already equipped as you are to do those things. Each and every one of you, single one of you, has been created individually with a purpose and all the abilities, talents, skills that will grow to do what God has you to do. But too many times, I think we want to be stars. That's why we like superheroes. It's flashy. It looks big. It's great. We all want to see ourselves with our cape in the wind, like Superman. Just pretend I have hair with a curly Q, and I'm tall. We all want to see our names in lights. We all want those things. But the thing about being great for God is God did not call us to be great, but to be great for Him. He's called us not to be superheroes, but He wants us to be super servants. to live a life for Christ, if we say we're Christians, we need to not just serve God. We need to be able to serve each other. We need to be able to serve people. And this is a hard concept sometimes, because we all like the idea of somebody serving us, but sometimes it's hard to wrap our head around serving somebody else and doing something for them. It's something that we need to purposely work on to develop a servant's heart. I want to read something here real quick. It's a story that Jesus shared. And it says this. It's in Luke chapter 10. And it says, one day an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus replied, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? The man answered, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Right, Jesus told him. Do this and you will live. The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, and he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. So the two people from church came by. They didn't just ignore him. They heavy-duty ignored him. They walked to the other side of the road. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here. Now, which of these three would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? That was Jesus' question. So who's the neighbor? The Samaritan. Now, we've heard this story. If you've been in church, you've heard this story. If you went to Sunday school, you heard this story. I remember the little pictures they put on the flannel board and dance around for our stories. Stories are so much better now. The Samaritan did not react the same as the priest or as the temple assistant. They all saw the same thing. A man who was beaten badly, near death, lying in the road. The first two men passed him by. They ignored his needs. But the Samaritan's action shows us a lot about what it means to serve others as a Christian. In today's world, it's easy to ignore these things and just to think about ourselves. But there's 3 lessons I want to point out from this story that will help us have a servant's heart. And guys, those who serve are really the superheroes in the kingdom of God. They really are. The first thing we need to develop a servant's heart is we need love. Verse 33 tells us that when he saw the man, he had compassion. In other words, he felt love for him. I want you to think about this for a second. How the love of Christ, how that affects you. Jesus had love for you. This man, laying in the road, had nothing, no right to expect anything from the Samaritan. And the Samaritan owed him nothing. But he had compassion. He felt love. His love moved him to action. The love Jesus has for us moved him to action. And that love that Jesus showed for us needs to show in our own actions. When we see our friends, family members, your classmates, total strangers, hurting or in need, we need to act in love. We need to be able to feel compassion and feel love for them. Because it's our actions. It's not just our love. It's easy to say, oh, I love people. But it's our actions. And that's what's next. If you're going to have a servant's heart, you have to be willing to get your hands dirty. You can't stop at just loving people. We all say that, you know, love's going to make the world a better place. Not if we don't do something with it. We can love all we want, but if we never take that love anywhere, it's not going to change anything. In verse 34, it tells us the Samaritan didn't stop at compassion. He personally cleaned the man's wounds, bandaged him, and even took him to a place to rest and recover. Now, I don't know about you. I don't do well with blood. So, to say somebody would find a complete stranger on the side of the road, clean all of his wounds, and then bandage them, for me, I'm like, ugh, that's hard. It's another great example that love and love in action isn't easy. It's not always glamorous. It's also another great example of Jesus' life. Jesus gave up his throne in heaven, his place by the Father, and he came to earth to clean your wounds, to clean your hurts, to bandage up your scars, and to heal our brokenness. We've got to be willing to get our hands dirty. We've got to be willing. And that's going to be looking different for everybody. Sometimes it might mean going out in the cold and helping somebody scrape the snow off their car. And I mean like really cold. Not like today was chilly, but like remember last week? Like really cold. It could mean maybe you live next door to an elderly neighbor and they need help with their yard work. Maybe it means you give something up for a day and go and rake some leaves, mow a lawn. That's love in action. It's not always big things. It could just be praying with someone at your school. It could be listening to one of your friends here in Rage when they've had a tough day. It's love in action. And it could cost you. And that's the tough part about the action. It could cost your reputation. It might cost you some money. The Samaritan gave 2 silver coins, which in the footnote in my Bible, it says 2 denarii. That is 2 days' wages. Who has a job? Okay, you just worked 2 days. Now you're going to take your 2 days' worth of money and help a complete and total stranger with it. Love in action can cost us. It's not always going to be easy. It can cost us time, money. But a servant isn't just going to stop by taking action. Because a servant is going to be willing to empty themselves. And that's what he did when he gave his 2 days' wages. Not just that. He didn't stop at 2 days' wages. He said, when I come back, if it costs more than that, I'm willing to give more. I'm willing to take care of this, to help this man. We can't be only willing to serve when it's convenient or when it's fun, but we have to be willing to empty ourselves even when things are tough, even when things aren't what we want to do, even if it's cleaning a toilet. No, I'm serious, even if it's cleaning a toilet. Jesus Jesus didn't just stop at action. He didn't just come, bandage up your wounds, and that was it. He gave everything he had, emptied himself out. So he couldn't just take care of what's going on now, what's going on forever and in the future. He was looking beyond just helping you through your day to day. I want to read one more quick story for you when I'm going to wrap up here. It's found in John chapter 13. And we were up north in Traverse City, and the pastor spoke on this last night. So I was like, man, now I feel like I'm ripping off what he was about to say. But it says, before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin, and then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with a towel he had around him. To us, it does not. It may still seem like a big deal, because feet, let's face it, feet are gross. Even when they're in your shoes, they're gross. But we're talking about a culture where people walked in open shoes through streets that were shared with animals. Has anybody ever been to a parade and seen what four horses can do in a parade? And then they sweep it up. There weren't people running around with little brooms after the animals. Jesus humbled himself so much to wash the disciples' feet right there. We're talking Jesus who is hours away from the crucifixion. What we just talked about, him, his great emptying himself, giving everything up, and he still takes the time to wash the disciples' feet. You have to serve where you are. No matter what's in front of you, no matter what's coming up, we learn from Jesus that where you are is where you serve. Every moment, we need to be ready to step up, be ready to take action. Jesus loved, Jesus acted, Jesus emptied himself. He served where he was at.
Thanks for joining us for our podcast today. If you'd like more info on us, you can find us on the web at www.ragestudentmin.com or follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/ragestudentministries.